because of their wealth, they were a resource for Greek leaders who wanted any sort of wealthy, powerful ally. And we've seen examples of this in the invasions of both Darius and Xerxes, where he has defectors from Greece who want to be rewarded by helping out the Persians and contributing to supposed Persian victory in Greece. The attacks on Greece by Persia brought two highly developed cultures into contact with each other, and it continued a long process of interaction between East and West. In addition to Herodotus's account of the Persian invasions, the Athenian playwright Aeschylus wrote a tragedy called The Persians that was performed in about 472 BC. The plot of the play imagines the reaction of the Persian court at Susa to the news of the unexpected defeat of the Persians. Atossa, Xerxes' mother, is a key figure in the play. She really is the one who expresses the emotions, the extreme Persian emotions at the news of their loss. And in this other source, in a different genre, we see that the Greeks continue the idea of the role of Persian royal women as being very powerful, and as powerful, in the case of Xerxes, sometimes even more powerful than he himself was, according to the Greek imagination. Herodotus notes the massive amounts of gold that the Persian king and army brought with them. Stories about individual Greek soldiers who captured Persian gold run through Herodotus's account. And supposedly for years after the defeat of the Persian navy, beachcombers would find gold and silver washed up on the shore that they could pick up and collect. The Greeks dedicated Persian goods in their temples, and Herodotus records that a bronze manger used to feed Mardonius's horses was dedicated to Athena. The Persian camp, which the Greeks had captured, was decorated with gold and silver embroidered tents. There were carts full of gold and silver, dining and drinking equipment, and the jewelry, the gold jewelry that Persian generals wore. The Greeks did not normally flaunt their personal wealth in this way, so this sparked their imagination. There are scattered references in Athenian literature and art that reveal the presence of characteristic Persian goods, peacocks and parasols that were typically used at the Persian court, that the Athenian elite began to acquire for themselves. At the same time, the overall tone condemns this Persian luxury and suggests that it made them effeminate and that this contributed to their loss. They were less skilled military commanders. We will see that this awe of Persian riches in the East continues during Alexander the Great's campaign. There's a final note about the Persian invasions that I'd like to make. The Greeks use 1/10 of the Persian goods to cast a gold tripod that stood on a bronze column base comprised of entwined snakes, and this was set up at the sanctuary of Delphi. This 5th century BC serpent column survives, partially, in Istanbul, where it was taken there by the Roman Emperor Constantine, who wanted some part of Greece when he founded his new capital city at Constantinople in the 4th century AD. These historical accounts, Esther, and especially Herodotus, that describe Xerxes' reign were passed down to Western culture, and the opinions within them were critical to creating the ideas about Eastern luxury and decadence, and also the idea that this resulted in a weak army, a weak Persian army, and a weak Persian rule. These attitudes are pervasive, and we can see that the Greeks themselves had to explain their victory in some philosophical way. What comes through the Greek accounts is their attitude that their political system and customs, their freedom, was a better way of life than the Persian monarchy. In the next lecture, we will investigate the art, architecture, and culture of the Persians, which was so impressive to the Greeks.